We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
We've been looking at different colors. We call it colors because of two things. One, Joseph wore the color, coat of many colors, so we think of colors when we think of Joseph. And another reason is because life is full of color. And sometimes we don't like the color that happens, but we need to embrace the color that comes our way. Sometimes life is blue, right? So you're dealing with blue situations. My sister Luba, right here in the front, she grew up in Serbia. And so you know she's got Siberia. I knew I was going to get that wrong. That is, but she's going through some thoughts right now, and you can't get away from those thoughts. But when life gives you a color like blue, you embrace it, and you know that God is with you through it. If your life has a silver lining, you know that God is shining through those cloudy days. If your life is red, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, God is forgiving you. Today, we want to talk about the color orange, that life is always under construction. And today, I want to look at the shortest verse. One of the shortest verses in this whole story of Joseph. Some of you are glad that means that sermon will be shorter, and hopefully it will, but maybe it won't. I don't know. Whatever the Holy Spirit, if you just get over your offense right now, then we don't even have to pray or even do this. Everyone's smiling and laughing. All right, God bless. Have a great day. Go watch. There's not one sport on. Is there any sports even? Huh? NASCAR. Oh, yeah, you can go watch NASCAR, all right? Today, I want to look at the short one of the shortest verses that has some of the biggest consequences. We're going to call this orange because our lives are always under construction. Would you pray again with me? Lord, we're including you once again in everything that we do today. We ask that you set our minds up to hear and to make sure that it gets that 1/6 inches to our heart, to make sure that we act out and apply your word to our lives. Lord, I thank you for the crazy group that you bring together every Sunday morning, and I pray that we would be a light to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Orange often represents construction, detours. I don't know, anyone live in Colorado Springs here, okay? A few of you. I don't know if you've ever seen construction. Probably not. We hardly ever have any. Or any detours in our town. I just came back from Salt Lake City on Monday, and on the way, we were driving 7 hours. There's nothing worse than on the 8th hour to hit construction and a construction zone where all of a sudden, instead of 1 hour away from your destination, your GPS says 3 hours. After you're so tired of driving, right? There's nothing more maddening than when you finally get up to just slowly going 2 miles down the road or 2 miles for 45 minutes. There's nothing more maddening when you get up to it to see, and I'm not talking about any person, construction person in this room today, but to see the guys all just standing there doing nothing, right? And I do not understand construction, so I'm sure there's a lot of waiting, like bring in the tools and the concrete and we'll wait on you. But it was like no one's doing anything, and you want so bad to open your window and say, do something. Why did we have to sit here in this? I'm offended. Okay, I'm offended at you. And they would be like, I don't give a care if you're offended. Right? First world problems, I assume, that, you know, we're offended at certain things and we're mad when construction happens in our lives because it also often makes things last longer. But it happens. Life happens, and that's the way it is. And in those times, we need to remember God is at work. And let's multiply this by 1 million, my problem on Monday with Joseph, and you will get how Joseph's feeling because he's going through a lot worse situations in his life. Let me recap. Thomas last week shared about part of this, and it was perfect for today, what I'm going to talk about. Potiphar's wife had asked Joseph to lie with her. right? I don't know if any of you were here for that week when we talked about that, but, you know, Joseph didn't lie with her. Joseph ran. Joseph ran. She pulled this robe off and he ran. I don't know if he had anything under it. He was running away. And guess what? He did what God asked him to do. He got away from that situation. He flew the sin. He fleed away from the sin. And guess what? He still went to jail. She went to her husband. Hey, this guy, he did this to me. He tried to rape me this. And it was not true. And the king was mad and he sent him to jail. Unjustly. Joseph was in jail. He has some guys have some dreams. God gives Joseph favor in jail. He becomes in charge of all the prisoners. And in fact, as a prisoner, he becomes in charge of the prisoners because of favor. And instead of, which many of us would be like, this sucks. We're in jail. This is not fair. I didn't deserve this. I did everything right. Now I'm stuck here. Instead, he flourished while he was there. And while he was there, someone had a dream and he interpreted it because God gave Joseph the gift of reinterpreting dreams. Wouldn't that be a cool gift? I don't know if any of you have that gift, but would love to talk to you. So he interprets a dream of it happened to be the cupbearer, which is like the guy that drinks any of the king's drinks, the Pharaoh's drinks, before him to make sure they're not poison, right? So the cupbearer tells him a dream. He interprets it. The cupbearer gets out of prison. He says, Joseph, thank you so much for doing this. I will not forget you. And that's where we come to today. I'm going to share a little bit different perspective on what Thomas shared last week. Look at Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. Okay? Everybody still with me? You're still here? Wave. Yes. Thank you. Says this, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. In case you don't know what that means, he forgot him. And then verse 41, or chapter 41, that very next verse says, on verse 1, it says, 2 years went by, Joseph sitting there in prison. Isn't it ironic how the route to get from one place to another is often under construction? All I want to do is get from here to there. All I want to do is get better, God. All I want to do is be sanctified, to be set apart. All I want to do is be a better Christ to my friends. But my route to get from here to that place is usually under construction because unless you're Juanita, you need some construction done in your life. You need some fixing. You need some repairing. You need some refining. Joseph's character continued to develop because God used every single detour as an opportunity in Joseph's life. Every single detour. We'd say in our day, and Thomas mentioned this too last week, he said, it would be very easy for Joseph to say, we would even tell Joseph to say this, Joseph, give up on God. It's not fair. You actually did the right thing and still got the wrong results. It's not fair, Joseph. You should be angry at God. You should be upset. You should be bitter. You should be offended. Why aren't you offended, Joseph? And maybe he was. Maybe that's why he was in prison for 2 more years. We don't know what was going on. Joseph wasn't perfect. He wasn't an angel. I'm sure he had his days where he's talking to God and he said things he shouldn't say. I'm sure that there was days he was more bitter than better, right? Anyone ever done the wrong thing and faced the consequence? I'm going to take a survey right now, okay? This is not Joseph, but this is us. Anyone ever done the wrong thing and then faced the consequence because you did the wrong thing? Anyone? Yes, I see that hand. All right, I want you to come up here right now. Don't laugh. And you, no. We've all done the wrong thing, faced the consequence from it. Often, I won't get into that, but how about when we do the right thing and you still face the consequence? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it's happened to me. I do the right thing all the time, right? We like to raise our hand to that, right? But it's true. Sometimes we do the right thing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God. I read my Bible. I even listen to it. I listen to it on my headphones when I'm running. I go to church. If I'm not at church, I listen to the live stream. If I don't listen to the live stream, I listen to the podcast. If I don't listen to the podcast, I pray every day. I worship you. I try to tell people about you. I give in the offering. Yet still, bad consequences can happen. I want to ask four questions today. Pretty heavy questions that we all ask at one time or another. And maybe you wouldn't even realize you asked this question. But we might even have asked it this last week. And the first question is this. Is our God a dictator? Is God a dictator? You could maybe ask it like, why do bad things happen to good people? Like, what, God, what are you up to? I don't know if these questions are going to help you to feel like I'm resolved now. I have resolution to my questions. Today, I think you might leave here less resolved than you did when you came in, just thinking. And I think that's where Joseph was for a while. He was thinking, God, what are you up to? What are you up to? It's okay to wrestle. Did you know that? I talked to teenagers for my whole life. And the problem is more so when a teenager doesn't wrestle with God. Let me just encourage some of the parents in the room. If your teenager is like, okay, that's fine. And they don't say, I don't understand this. I don't agree with this. I don't know if I love church. I don't know if I hate church. If they're not dealing with these things, they're going to deal with them eventually. And sometimes questions are good. Sometimes it's good to go through a season of questioning. God, are you there? God, are you mean? God, are you good? God, are you real? God, are you alive? God, are you a fairy tale? That's okay to ask. Is God a dictator? I'm going to answer this simply with a Bible verse. And I'm going to say simply, no, God is not a dictator. We don't have time to go into a series on is God a dictator today. Why does war happen? Why do bad things happen? Why is this allowed? I'm not going to answer that today. Is God a dictator? Let me share this scripture with you. It's from Romans 8. I don't have just 28, but I'm going to give you a couple verses from here. This is one of our theme verses for this message. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to read a couple that are around it. Romans 8:28 says, we know, now we think other things. We question sometimes, but we do know that we know that we know that we know that in all things, God does work for our good. If you love him, if you love him, God works for your good. If you're called according to his purpose, he works for your good. But then there's another verse, Romans 8:31. It says this, what then shall we say in response? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, don't simplify my confused life. Let me just simplify it for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? I'm trying to get everyone's attention in the room. I'm looking at every person. If God is for you, who can be against you? It's a Bible verse. It's the truth. Yet sometimes we say, oh, yeah, whatever. It's not astrology. I'm talking the word of God. If God is for you, nobody can be against you, my friend, my brother, my sister. Verse 35, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Can anything separate you from the love of God? Well, I think I have a list of things that can separate me from God. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because my God is not a dictator. I don't know what movie or what culturistic theme made us think that our God is this maniacal construction boss in the sky who is causing potholes to arise in our lives. Like, I'm going to make this. Oh, they fell into it. Perfect. Yes. That's what I wanted. I wanted them to fall into that construction pothole because I want them to question if I'm a dictator. No. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Verse 37 says this, no, none of those things can separate you. In all these things, Dakota, I'm not talking about the state. There is a person named Dakota in this room. John, in all of these things, Aaliyah, in all of these things, nothing can separate us. For I am convinced we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or demons, nor present, or future, or any powers, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, if you're wondering, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate you. You can't separate yourself from God. You can't even do it yourself. What about the unpardonable sin? What about blasphemy? Then I'm separated from God. That's a good question. Leave that for another day. But don't believe that anything can separate you. If you put your trust in him and God works for the good of all those who love him or are called according to his purpose, nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in God. Well, yeah, it's in God, but it's in Christ Jesus, because Jesus forgave you. Jesus died for all those things. Jesus gave you the forgiveness. He paid for it. It wasn't free. So you can't be separated. He did it for you, and you didn't have to do anything about it. All you do is receive it. So is God a dictator? We're going to just keep it at that. You can question. You can decide. Second question, is life a test? Is life a test? Four questions when life is unfair. We're going to get back to Joseph in a minute, but let me tell you this. I believe that God is more concerned with who you are, than where you are. God is more concerned with who you are than where you are. If you find yourself in a prison, if you find yourself in a unhealthy marriage, if you find yourself in an unfair situation, God is more concerned with who you are. Who are you really? I am concerned with taking you from here to here, right? That's what God's concerned with. Thank you, God, because often I'm not even concerned with getting from here to here, but you are concerned with taking me from here to here. So you don't care. I mean, you care, but you're not as concerned with, I'm wondering, now, do I do this decision? Do I make this decision? Do I do this? Do I do that? God's like, I'm looking at your heart, and your heart hasn't changed, and I want you to change. I want you to get better and better, more and more like me, so that you can experience more of my presence in your life. Amen? So good. That's good. I just ministered to myself. Thank you. If you choose to be bitter and throw a fit, we're asking the question, is life a test? If you choose to be bitter and throw a fit, God can work nothing through your fit. We say that to our kids, right? You're just throwing a fit? Well, then go to your room. I'm done, okay? I'm done. I don't know if God does that. Like, go to your room. I'm done with you. You're throwing a fit. I'm not going to be able to teach you anything. But if you're throwing a fit, God might say, you're not passing this test. Not necessarily that I brought this test on, but you're not passing it. Keep your trust in me. Example that you brought up last week. The Israelites, they're in a 40-year journey across the desert to their promised land. Some theologians say, you could have probably made it to the promised land, you guys, in like 3 weeks. If you had a GPS, if you had good hearts and stopped complaining all the time, obey God for a change, you might have made it there in 3 weeks, but it took you 40 years. You bunch of morons. That's what God would probably say to Peter today. You're a moron. No, you'd say to Stephen, to Jeff, to all of us, you are taking too long to get from here to here. You bunch of morons. Let's move on. Okay, is life a test? I would say, yeah, it is. Pass your test. Detours happen. Pass your test. Look at this scripture. You won't like it. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. What's wrong? You don't think I'll like it? They won't like it. I don't think I like it. Consider it a sheer gift? What? Consider it a gift when I bless you. Okay, well, I will. No, it says, consider it a sheer gift when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Oh, they're coming at me from all sides. I'm surrounded. This is how I fight my battles. We're surrounded, but we're surrounded by God. Consider it a gift when you're surrounded by trouble. Okay? Thanks, James. Appreciate it. You know that under pressure, your faith life, I'm using the Message version because I like how it explains it. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. Ooh. You see people. You see if they're really, oh, I have faith in God. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I love God. But when the troubles come, your faith life gets pushed right out there in the open, and everybody can see your true colors. Is that a good one for our titles called Colors? I mean, perfect. When people see your true colors, let's hope that they see in me, let's say hope they see in you, someone who's considering a gift when I deal with problems. I told you you wouldn't like that verse. The last, next question. Is unfairness a result of sin? We could do a whole time on this too, and you can disagree with me, you can argue with me, but I'm going to just say this. Yes, unfairness, I would say most of the time, I'm just going to say all the time for the sake of this argument. Is unfairness a result of sin? Yes, it is. Is this war a result of sin? I don't know. I guess, yes. Some detours, let me say it like this, are the result of a sinful world. You live in a sinful world, that Adam and Eve, they messed it up for us. I've heard preachers say that, but if it wasn't Adam and Eve, it would probably be you or me, right? It would have gotten messed up sooner or later. And God wants to give us choice, so he doesn't want to be a dictator, so he says, you choose what you want to do. And we usually choose the wrong thing, like our kids do sometimes. Even though we love them and we tell them what to do, we tell them, if you do this, you get this, you do that. And, yep, people still make the wrong decisions, and life is unfair. And, yes, some detours are the result of a sinful world. Some detours are the result of a sinful person, you. Some of your detours, some of our detours are a result of sin. I don't even know, I just thought of this right now, but is it possible that in community with one another, that your sin could cause others to have a detour? It could. Achan had that problem in the Old Testament. The whole group lost the battle because of one person's sin. That would not be what I want to be guilty of. You get to heaven and God says, you know, all those people that went through the detour, it was your fault because you were living wrong. Ooh. That helps me to live much better when I think of things that way. God uses both to teach us character. He uses the detours of the sinful world. He uses the detours of our own life to teach us character. They were not ready to occupy their promised land, right? Apparently, because it took them 40 years. Are you ready to occupy your promised land? It's a good question. Ask yourself that. Am I ready to occupy my promised land? Why do I not see my land flowing with milk and honey like you promised me? Maybe you're not ready. Am I ready, God? I want to be ready. The shortest distance between two places can be your obedience. If you just obey already, it might make your distance from here to there a little bit shorter. Although that time from here to there is under construction, use obedience through that time. Be obedient, and I bet you your construction zone, the detour, will be a little bit better. Get it right, pass your test, trust God. One last question, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time perhaps on this one. Is this? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did this have to happen to me, God? It's not fair. Why? You know, people ask you that. Well, that's why I don't serve God. They'll allow their offense to give them a reason not to serve God. Because I'm offended. Because I'm hurt. Because I'm bitter. Because I'm upset. Because it's not fair. I won't serve God. I won't go to church. I'm not going. And they're not going to make it to heaven. Because they're offended. Because they say, why? And that's okay to ask. Why does this have to happen to me? Joseph must have asked it in the prison. He must have asked it in the pit. He must have asked it many times over his life. Genesis 40, 23. We're coming right back to that for a minute. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Why? Why, God? He forgot him. We all, well, not maybe not all of us, but probably you have a verse, chapter 40, verse 23 in your life. You have a chief cupbearer didn't remember Joseph. Maybe his boss, however, did not notice the work he had done. Why? Why has this injustice been done to me? Maybe more serious, his father, however, did not forgive him for his shortcomings. Your father forgot you. Your father did not forgive you. You did not forgive your father. He was hurt and he remained in a prison of offense for years. Maybe that's your verse 23. Remained in a prison of offense for years. It doesn't matter whether it's been done to you purposefully, because sometimes it's not even purposefully. Yet you're still in your own jail of being upset. It doesn't matter if it was on purpose or not. It doesn't matter if it was intentional or not. It happened. Maybe your verse 23 reads this way. The stranger, they didn't even know them. The stranger hurt them with their words. Maybe it was the words. Maybe it was actions. And because of it, they were tormented for the rest of their lives. I know some of you were at the gala, and one of the stories was of Kay Riffle, that her husband got in a wreck early in their marriage, and it made him, he's like maybe like a 10-year-old in his mind because of what happened. The person that hit them didn't go to jail. They got away. No one ever found them. They forgot. God, did you forget me? My verse 23 says, my husband died early death. You know, whatever it was. Whatever the reason for our pain, it has left us, or it can leave you on a freeway where you're like this. Erk, erk, erk. I can see my destination, but I can't get there. It seems like I'm going 1 mile an hour. And I can't get to my destination. Unless we travel a long detour. Get off right here, but this is going to take me 7 more hours. And this detour is called forgiveness. This detour is called letting it go. This detour is called acceptance. It's just, it's happened, and I'm going to stop asking why. This detour is called trust. I trust you, God. I don't get you, God. I don't understand you, God, but I trust you. You, all of us, if we are going to be in God's care, he's not going to leave you the way you are. He's going to make you better. He's going to make you He's going to bring you closer to him. And along the way, there's going to be a time you're going to have to get off the freeway of your hurt, your bitterness, and say, God, I trust you. How long is this going to take? Isn't it ironic how the route to get from one place to another is often under construction, like I said? I'm in a hurry, God. I got places to go, people to see. I got things I want to become. And God says, yeah, exactly. I care about who you are, not as much where you are, who you are. Who are you becoming? God, I want to become this. God, I want this to happen in my life. And he's like, I know. So just walk with me. I'm walking with you in this. It's a whole orange ordeal that we don't like. Why travel that road? Why should we travel the road of to forgive and to trust? Because when we travel those kind of roads, we find the dreams realized in our lives. Joseph had a bunch of dreams. You say, well, I never dreamed like a dream like Joseph. His dreams were weird. No, God's got a purpose for all of you, all of us. And yes, some of that purpose you've already done, you've already accomplished, you've already achieved. Do you think God's like only gives you one purpose or one thing and then you're done? And so the rest of the life, oh, just skate by either calloused or unfeeling or complacent. No, he's got more purpose. He's always got more purpose for you. So he says, so that you can experience the dreams I have for you, the more dreams, because life is supposed to be fulfilling. Everyone's supposed to be fulfilled. So you can experience everything. You need to learn trust in me. And then here's this little part I'm going to go into just for a minute. I want us just to take a breath for a minute. Look at the person next to you and say, oh, that was for you. That was for you. It was not for me. It was for you. Okay. Everyone agree with me on this? I think it might even be part two of this. I think it is going to be. Oh, my gosh. It's going to have to. Jared, would you come up and play? I feel like we can't move on from this moment without addressing this in our lives. I have a little bit more about offense that will for sure offend you, so come back Sunday. It's very offensive, and I don't want to rush it, so I'm gonna put pause there. And I want you to pray for the person next to you because they have hurt. Or you can just pray for yourself. Let's just pray for ourselves. How about that? Bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is always there, always working, always encouraging, always reminding us that, hey, I'm with you. But there are times, Holy Spirit, like right now, that you want to just kind of, I don't think it's a punch in the gut, but it's kind of like a shake. He wants to shake us a little and say, would you not be so complacent? Okay? Complacent means unfeeling or just go by, just roll with the punches. Don't think about it. Don't try to do anything spectacular. Don't try to follow purposes. God, the Holy Spirit wants to shake all of us for a minute and say, don't you think I got big plans for you? And some of the things that have hurt you in the past are keeping you from the plans I want to see happen in your future. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. God, what is the specific word you want to say to each one of us? Is there a father that we haven't forgiven? Is there a son that hasn't forgiven us? Is there unforgiveness for a past hurt? And they don't deserve our forgiveness, but you're asking us to forgive? Is there a group of people or a person in our past that has caused us not to like people like that because of what they did to us? Is there times that we don't open, be who we are, and we put up walls because we are afraid people are going to see who we really are? Because we don't want to be hurt. So we don't give them friendship. We don't give them love. We don't become family because what if they hurt me? Maybe it was someone else's fault, but God says today, I can handle this. I can balance the books for everyone. You don't have to worry about them getting revenge on them. I'll balance that book later. All I care about is who you are. Maybe you're upset at God because you think he is a dictator. That's for sure one for someone. That is for sure. You think God is this dictator. You blame God for things that aren't his to blame. They're not for him to take the blame. He didn't do them. You've taken the opportunity to say, I'm not going to really truly serve you very well because I choose to say it's not fair. And you could have done a better job. And since you didn't, I'm not serving you. I'm not going to fully give you my heart. Forgiveness and hurt. Lord, we give you our forgiveness. We give you our unresolved forgiveness. Lord, we give you our hurt. We even give you our offense. People have offended me. I'm so offended, so upset. It's not fair. We give it to you. Everybody's eyes closed, heads bowed. This opportunity, I felt like God said, on this Sunday, make sure you do this. We don't do this every week, but maybe someone here has walked away from Jesus. You've walked away from God, and maybe it's not because of being offended or being hurt, but probably is. It was because no one talked to me. No one smiled at me. No one was nice to me. Maybe you're getting ready to walk away from God, and God says, no, don't leave. Don't leave. I'm still at work in your life. Just trust me. If you're here in this room and you're considering walking away from God, or maybe you already did, I want to say God is there welcoming you home. He says, come back. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to get you out of this prison. I got good plans for you. I want to forgive you. If you're here, nobody else looking around, just raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to do this. I need to start fresh today. Who else? Who is it? Who's God speaking to? I need to start fresh. Don't play games with God. Don't play church. I'll wait because I felt like I needed to do this. So walked away, considering walking away. You're not where you're supposed to be. Your heart's not right. How many of you in this room today would say, I could certainly do a better job at trusting God? I hope that's all of us. Raise your hand if that's you. Everybody's eyes look around. Everyone could do better trusting, right? Would you stand with me today? Would you say this prayer with me today? Would you say, Holy Spirit? Say it with your voice. It's okay. Sometimes we don't know the right words to say. Use this. Say, Holy Spirit, would you work in me? Would you say, Heavenly Father, I come before you. In Jesus' name. You don't have to say that, but sometimes it's good to remind ourselves how we're getting to God here. We come before you in Jesus' name. And would you say this? Forgive me, Lord, for when I've hurt others, and help me to forgive those who have hurt me. You know, that's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, the disciples said, how do I pray? He said, ask forgiveness and then forgive those that hurt you. Forgive those that hurt you. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, let me be a light. Let people see you in me. Amen. I don't want you to leave this place today without talking to a few people to encourage them. I don't know, you want to encourage them this way by saying, I love you. You're like, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. I do that. You can do that. It's okay to do. You might never see them again. I love you is not a bad thing to say. It's weird. It'll feel weird at first. But maybe you want to tell them. Maybe you don't love them. You don't have to say it. Maybe you want to encourage them to say, I love you. Maybe you don't know what to say, so you just tell them, hello, nice to see you today. That's a pretty easy one, but it's nice to hear. We come into this place. I'm taking a minute. I'm taking 2 minutes. Listen. We come to this place to be encouraged by what I have to say, be encouraged by this worship team. But number one, we come into this place to be encouraged by one another.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.